hang out with you?
You mean to be on the podcast?
Yeah. What is this? What is going on
here? This is a podcast. I can give you a ride to Lake Street, and the fit is going to be very weird, and I'm not adjusting it for you. And if you don't want to pedal all that much, I'm okay with that.
Okay. I'll pedal as much as I can, but to be honest.
Hey! This is a random guy I just met.
This is a real thing.
Hey, how are you? We're podcasting today.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now, 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 right now.
Yeah, it's some. How's it turning on it?
So when I pulled out of the driveway of the person I borrowed it from, I tipped over to the left, but that was probably my fault. It's not the most stable thing with just one person on it. Devin Hogan, former Minneapolis DFL chair. What's your title now, Devin?
Chair Emeritus.
Okay. I hope people can hear this. Talk really loud, because the audio on that is not good. We're not set up for audio yet.
Got it. What's up, friends?
Devin Hogan.
How's it going?
Hey. How's your open streets going?
Pretty good. I met a random guy.
I'm just curious.
Did we exchange names?
No, my name is Sergio.
I'm John.
John, nice to meet you.
Excellent.
Nice to meet you, Devin.
Yeah, cheers. Same to you.
Cheers.
And we're making our way to Lynn Lake to pick up Alyssa, who is the first guest.
Nice.
You good to drink and ride?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a slow ride.
That's good. Can we go back?
We can back. Just... We can back out.
Oh, this is.
How do we feel about the camera angles?
You're gonna get a lot of my knees in it.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's pretty hot.
Sure.
People love the knees.
Yeah.
How about I'll pedal and you can steer. Does that feel like a fair division of labor?
Yeah. So I can steer. It's nice to have you because you balanced me out. I tipped over once.
Oh, that seems unfortunate.
Okay, finally started. I picked up a random guy at like 34th Street.
Just to be nice?
He's like, can I hang out with you? And I said, okay.
Who is this person? What was their name?
Sergio?
I don't know Sergio.
I don't know him.
Sorry.
I didn't know him. But now I know him.
Making new friends.
Yeah.
You really took the friendship episode to heart.
Yeah. We're going much faster with you pedaling.
You're also pedaling. Oh, God. Feels very weird to be pedaling a bike. Well, you stop pedaling then.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels good.
So, what have you done so far at Open Streets?
I was part of the volunteer setup crew, which means you get to do the fun part, which is...
Let's slow it down. Alyssa, you're very aggressive. This is very squeaky brakes. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah,
so you did set up?
Did set up. So you get to take the barricades and put them in the way and shoo the cars off the street, which is very fun.
You're a person who doesn't like festivals. Am I right about that?
I mean, I'm like an introvert that gets easily overwhelmed in large crowds. So my preferred hangout time at Open Streets events is like the beginning and the end when there's a little bit less happening.
Those are my least favorite parts. When they take the barricades away and the cars come back?
Yeah, I mean, that's everyone's least favorite part.
It's not too sunny. Did you put on sunscreen?
I put on a minimum of sunscreen, yeah.
Okay.
But my fanny pack has more in case of emergency, if you need some.
But you enjoy people watching. That's another thing I know about you.
I do enjoy people watching, yes. It's great to people watch.
You told me once you don't like the cat tour, but you like watching the people who come to the cat tour.
The cat tour.
As if it's a bunch of freaks who come
don't
to the cat tour.
Don't make me out to be a cat tour hater. But I think the watching of people is at least as good as the watching of cats.
Our video looks very washed out.
Because it's sunny, sort of.
I wonder if I could get it focused better.
Probably.
Okay, let's stop here.
Right in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
This is a thing you can only do during Open Streets.
Yeah.
Still.
Still.
Is that better?
I don't know.
I don't care. Although I'm just realizing it's unfortunate you can only see the first half of this shirt. It looks like I'm pro street parking.
Yeah. Anyone you're looking forward to seeing?
Watch this bike. At this event, I mean,
yeah.
I went and said hi to all the R Street staff. Thanks to the R Street staff for their hard work in making this event happen. We're in the like arts district right now, which is pretty cool.
This is much busier than in prior years.
Mm-hmm. There's like a lot more vendors, I think, which feels cool. I don't know. I think there's a number of folks that I know who are here today, and I just like biking the route end to end. I don't know if we'll make it that far in the podcast, though.
What do you mean? You don't think we'll make it much of a distance?
I don't know. I don't know how long you're podcasting for today.
All day.
All day.
But not just with you.
That's like 6 hours of podcast. The only complaint I regularly get about the podcast is the episodes are too long.
Yeah, this will be a 6 hour long podcast.
That's a choice.
It could be multiple episodes. I don't know.
Are you going to do this for every OpenStreets?
I don't think so. It's kind of a pain in the ass. So maybe.
Non-committal.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
Other open streets would probably be easier because it's easier to navigate through. There's not as many crowds.
Yes,
that's
true.
Streets. So you can buzz everyone. I feel like we're spending all our mental energy trying not to kill anyone with this.
We're not at a pace where this is not your typical vehicle on Lyndale.
Yeah.
The web live. Hello. There are some, like this median. This is the median.
Oh yeah, should we talk about the median? How do you feel as a transportation professional? Can I call you that?
Sure.
How do you feel about the median?
I like it. I appreciate that it's actually wide enough to stop in the middle, both as a person walking and as a person biking. Like if you have a bike, there's some of those medians that are narrow enough that if you had a bike, like the tail end of your bike would be hanging out into traffic one way or the other.
It's wide enough to do a podcast from.
Mm-hmm. That's the real marker of success in our infrastructure. Can we podcast there? So.
I feel like the video of this is not going to be as interesting as I'd hoped because it's just us on video.
You could turn the camera around, right?
There is no, I could. Yeah, you're right. Should I do that? Would that be more interesting?
It's a time for experimentation, John.
Okay, let's stop it and I'll turn the camera around.
It's gonna be just like pavement.
Then I won't be able to see if it's still recording.
Do you wanna get off the bike and go test it?
I have to check.
See what the view's like?
Okay.
This
might be better. That's a good idea, Alyssa.
These are the brilliant ideas that you've come to rely on me for as a co-host.
Okay. That works. Let's do that. I don't know who's next. I'm kind of playing it by ear. I have some people and I shouldn't be talking about the next guest while I'm talking to my current guest.
I like your guests.
But, Ash from R Streets.
Mm, yep.
And Marion Green from the Hennepin County Board. Mike Norton, Minneapolis DFL Vice Chair. Maybe some other people. Some people were not non-committal.
Seems like a varied group of participants who would have lots of perspectives.
Is there any control at this intersection?
There is a vehicle that labeled traffic control.
I feel like
off to the side.
I got waved through on a red light before, so it's It's a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, my understanding is generally when we have a signalized intersection, the traffic control person should be out controlling the traffic. But.
Are you a good person to talk about Hennepin Avenue with?
Depends on what we're talking about, I guess. I don't know.
Talking about just the state of it, the delay. Are we going to get the full-time bus lane, do you think?
I sure hope so. I feel like a lot of very smart people are working very hard to make that happen.
Yeah. Well, depending on what you think of Margaret Anderson Kelleher, there's a very smart person trying very hard to make it not happen. Alyssa just made a face. I turned the camera around, but Alyssa just made a face at me. So Margaret Anderson Kelleher, if you're listening, she didn't like that comment at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Oh, you know what I could have done? I could have switched the camera around to the backside camera.
That's what I thought you were going to do, and then you got off, and I was like...
I'm a dummy.
Well, I assumed it was like a higher quality camera.
No, it's a worse quality camera.
Oh. Well, then I don't know.
Then we could see what was happening.
I think Hennepin Avenue, one, I was thinking today about how I wonder how having Open Streets Lyndale on Lyndale for, what, 8 years, 10 years? Open Streets has been happening a long time. Has made the neighborhood more interested in safety projects for people walking, biking, and who live in the neighborhood?
Has it?
I mean, I think there was like a fair amount of... There was much more energy from... And like...
Oh, really?
Within people who live in the neighborhood, and I think a lot less resistance from the businesses on safety improvements.
I can see that. Hello, candidate! I know you. I'll call you.
It's the mark of a good Open Streets event is shouting at people across the street. No, I just wonder if like something like an Open Streets Hennepin would have set the stage differently for the conversation about Hennepin, right?
Yeah, I see the argument about businesses as just a demonstration of removing cars from a situation is not always a way to make a street worse. Sometimes it makes the street better, making space for people.
Yep.
But I wonder if like the genesis of Open Streets also just coincides, if it's correlated with the advocacy. Hello. And not like I'd be advocating for better streets even if there wasn't an Open Streets. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
The advocates are already believers. They didn't need this demonstration project to do it.
No, but the regular people who live in the neighborhood and the businesses who see their customer base as people who drive and assume their customer base drives without necessarily the data to back that up. Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't.
Hey, Jonathan.
Like, that's just a different situation. Oh boy, this is going to be a tight squeeze here.
We did it.
Good steering. I'm still doing nothing except pedaling, and that feels... I appreciate your work, John.
Thank you.
So.
Did I screw that one up? I feel like a student
driver.
Four
seconds after I give you a compliment, I'm like, nope, I got to steer so we don't hit this pedestrian.
I'm a student driver.
Every driver of a car is always a student driver. I don't know. So it just feels different, right? Like, and it's hard to understand that, you know, every business advocating against changes on Hennepin is really like operating from a place of fear.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in the business community, the Uptown Association in particular, because they opposed even the medians was unacceptable to them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There are some business associations around the country who are kind of progressive in terms of street design. Like, they're convinced it's good for business because it, I think it is.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be the case that the business association in an urban area has wants to, like, institute a suburban mindset on their streets. That's not always the case, and I think they should open their minds a little.
Yeah.
It's very reactionary.
It is. And I mean, there's, right, most business associations are membership-based organizations, and so they come at it from a place of doing what their members want them to do, as opposed to seeing themselves as someone who shapes the vision of what their members want and is like a leader on their own merit. Oh, this is getting loud.
Great audio for the podcast.
That is, it's just musical audio. We're having a musical break.
Squealing brakes and a loud band at the BFW. Okay. All right. And I can reset this camera the correct way. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for letting me be the inaugural guest, co-host, what am I now?
The first
passenger.
Co-passenger on the mobile edition of the Lunch Live podcast.
High five.
Wait, we should turn the camera around before we do that.
Five if nobody saw it. You're too tall. You're a perennial problem, John.
Okay. High five.
High five. Did it. See you later.
See ya.
Do you probably need this back, huh?
I do, yeah. Somebody's gonna leave with it and then I'll be screwed. Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
See ya. I'm worried that might not fit you. Is it?
Oh, this? I have very short legs.
I don't know. I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I can slide the seat back a little, but...
No, it's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Which direction should we go?
I'd love to check that way out, so...
Okay. My next guest, maybe I should introduce the podcast. I didn't even introduce the podcast. I talked with Alyssa and I didn't introduce it. This is the Wedge Live podcast. And we're at Open Streets on Lindell Avenue. I'm John Edwards. And this is Ash Narayanan.
Well done.
From our
very street. Few white people will take the effort to make say my name right. So well, congratulations.
I was very confident going in the first time.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Narayanan.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And we're going to head north on Lindell Avenue, back the way I just came. Okay. I can do most of the pedaling.
Okay.
Just make sure I don't hit anyone. Well, we're in the middle of a podcast right now. Do you want a button?
I do.
Okay, who are you?
I'm Joe Mitchell.
Okay.
Joe Mitchell is the board president of Our Streets Minneapolis.
Oh.
And I'm a big deep pockets developer.
Dark money.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, it's good to meet you, Joe.
Appreciate your accountability journalism. Get
Thank
back
you.
To your podcast.
Thank you. Okay. So, do you know anything about the history of our streets? I mean, open streets, not our streets.
Yes. I know a little bit about the history of our open streets. You know, the open streets movement started with things like Cyclovia in other parts of the Americas, South America, and then it came to Minneapolis mostly through the efforts of a person called Colin Harris, who is a local engineer who works for a planning firm, but has also, you know, worked with what was formerly the with Our Streets Minneapolis. At the time, it was a Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition, and he and a group of other dedicated volunteers worked really hard to bring open streets to the city of Minneapolis. And today, it's one of the it is probably the city's biggest event series in the summer.
It's my favorite Minneapolis event. We can kind of coast here. If you can't see, but Ash is like crumpled into this seat because these are very hard to adjust and I've refused to adjust it for him. I just coast down this hill.
Like I said, it's okay, John. I have a long torso and short legs.
I do too. You want to commiserate about that? I'm a very tall man, but I think I have the legs of maybe like a 6 foot tall man. And it's hard to get t-shirts. Do you find it's hard to get t-shirts?
I don't find that it's hard to get t-shirts because I work for a nonprofit organization.
Oh.
And
I just meant the right size.
Yeah, but our main swag is t-shirts, so we get all kinds of shapes and sizes.
Do you get tall sizes?
I don't know, but I also don't think I care very much about what I look like in a t-shirt.
You don't want your belly button showing, though.
Why not?
If I lift my arms over my head, my belly button will be showing. If I'm wearing like a normal large size shirt, I have to get the large tall.
Yeah. So why is Open Streets your favorite event series of the summer, John?
A lot of events, like, you know, Grand Old Day. Did you ever go to that?
I've never been to one. I've heard of them.
It feels like that's all about drinking in the street.
Yeah.
And I don't drink, and I don't have anything against people who do drink.
Right.
It's just, I'm not there for that.
Yeah.
This one feels like something for the whole family. Like, you can buy stuff. You can eat. Their families are here. And I'm sure families go to Grand Old Day. It just feels like that is a very drinking-focused thing.
Right.
I also like Little Mekong Night Market. That was cool until they had to cancel it this year because the cost. Sure. I'll take the red.
Red.
Oh, this is all. These are. Thank you. It's all crushed.
Oh no.
Thank you though. It's fine. I just don't want to get messy.
Okay.
Thank you. This is going to be awkward to eat on a podcast, Ash.
I think I've been in way more awkward situations. This would rank pretty low on that list. And at the end of the day, you get a popsicle too, so.
Let's just sit here and eat them.
Okay. So, the reason I love Open Streets is because, in my mind, it is the most powerful visualization of what our most valuable but scarce public space can be if it were people-centric.
Yeah.
You know, about 28% of our land in the city of Minneapolis are streets. And yet, I'd say 80 to 90% of our streets are used for moving and storing cars. This is one of the few times where we can actually see what our city feels like without cars taking up all of the space. And
how's your popsicle?
My popsicle's mediocre.
No. They're trying to recruit us. It's from the church.
You know,
I am
a big fan of this church.
I have a question for you guys. What is your favorite part of the neighborhood?
Of the neighborhood?
Of the neighborhood. Just in general.
The people? Like the number of people and businesses and destinations.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot to do. You don't have to go very far. You can walk. You can bike. You can take the bus. That's personally why I live here.
That's too deep. Like, should I also write Lake Chipotle, or?
Yes, Lake Chipotle, that's a destination.
Chipotle.
Where were we, Ash?
I think we were talking about why we like open streets.
Yeah.
But
before the popsicle interruption.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting to me that all of the places that people spend a lot of money and go to for vacation in America are predominantly places where you can walk.
So we're talking about New York and Chicago. Any other places come to mind of that?
Yeah, you know, Disneyland is somewhere people love to go, and you mostly just walk and take the monorail around the park.
Did you see that episode with
Peter Vaginius?
Yeah.
I have not seen that episode, but I work with Peter quite a lot and have heard most of what he thinks. So.
Well, you missed my part of it. You may have heard Peter's part, you missed my part.
Oh.
Because I was talking about like Disney World and theme parks, and Peter's like, I've never been to a theme park. But I'm like, one of the things that makes it feel like a vacation is that you can get on the bus, because Disney has a bus that comes pretty frequently and will take you to any of the parks. And you don't drive, you don't have to worry about parking.
Right.
And I think people love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to, like, drive into this massive parking lot and then walk, not to denigrate walking. Walking is fine, but when it's through a massive parking lot, it's not very much fun.
Yeah.
And arriving right at the door of your destination.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a dream. And so, if we made transit super convenient, it starts to have that, like, people aren't gonna ride transit because they wanna save the planet. They're gonna ride transit because it makes their lives easier. Same with riding bikes. If it makes my life easier because I can bike someplace,
exactly,
then I'm going to do it, or I can walk someplace, so I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are seeing that the single biggest thing that makes people ride transit, if it's frequent, and also if it's reliable and gets you to your destination, and even more than if it were free. And so that's why, you know, R Streets Minneapolis, the organization I work for, has been advocating for the making sure that the reconstructed Hennepin Avenue has bus lanes on day one. And we hear arguments from folks who say, well, let's see what ridership is like before we put bus lanes on. And I think that argument is wrong, because you create the conditions for people to be able to take transit effectively, and then people will take transit, which is why I think it's so important that a street of that importance in our community is done right, because it also sets the stage for every other street reconstruction that comes after, whether it's done by the city of Minneapolis or Hennepin County or the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, we know that BRT leads to increased ridership. We know ridership on Hennepin through Uptown is already high compared to other corridors. So we have the chance to set the stage for an amazing street that gets everyone where they need to go. And we should take that opportunity. We're also looking at when is a potential reconstruction of Lyndale happening? That's kind of in the medium to long term.
Right.
But if we do Hennepin right, we can have a demonstration for how Lyndale should do. Like, let's start doing some good things so we can set the stage for more good things, have it build on itself.
Exactly. At some point, they just start to become normal. You know, when a street reconstruction happens, it means you have dedicated bike lanes, dedicated bus lanes, wide sidewalks, places where people, families, children can feel like they don't have to worry about getting hit by a car. And I think we should be going even further. I think the city should be thinking about, you know, the climate, what kind of places people feel like they want to be in, and actually start pedestrianizing entire networks of streets going forward. You know, places where we actually, only have buses, bikes, and people walking and rolling. And those are things that are being done in other cities right now. There's no reason Minneapolis can't do the same.
Here's a tough question. How do you feel about our city hall right now? Like, our local government, our public works director. I know you can't, like, be out there trashing anyone, and I'm not asking you to trash anyone. I'll trash someone, but Like, do we feel good about the next, I don't know, 2 to 4 years in terms of who is in charge and their priorities and what they're liable to approve and let happen?
So, my phone dropped off.
Okay, go back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, we almost had a mishap. You have a good case, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For some context, we, the city of Minneapolis, just hired a new public works director, former Speaker of the House, Margaret Anderson Kelleher, who comes to us from the Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, where she was the commissioner. And I have had the opportunity to work with her in her capacity as commissioner, where I was appointed to something called the State Sustainable Transportation Advisory Council. And under MAK's leadership, we adopted the first ever driving reduction goal for the state of Minnesota. I think that's a pretty big deal, and that would not have happened without MAK's leadership, I believe. And so I feel optimistic about a new public works director coming to the city of Minneapolis. However, I have been disappointed with a couple of things that have come up in the first few months of her tenure, including an effort to dilute the reconstruction of Hennepin Avenue South by taking out bus lanes on day one after reconstruction. There's a plan by the city to bring in phased bus lanes where parking would still be allowed for most of the day, and buses allowed on a dedicated lane just for maybe an hour or two every day. And I think that is a recipe for failure, and that is disappointing. So if I were public works director, I would really be working to make sure that Minneapolis is the leader in creating a people-centric, sustainable transportation system. And there's so many different opportunities for us to do that. And I would encourage the public works director and all public works staff and the mayor to kind of take this opportunity, because we don't have a lot of time to avoid the worst impacts of catastrophic climate change.
And when we're talking about a street like Hennepin, we're talking about 4 years from now. We're like 2 years away from a reconstruction process, and the construction itself will take 2 years maybe, and so we're 4 years away from seeing those results if you say you want to push it off that far. You're already talking, even if we did it immediately, in other words, it would be 4 years from now.
Exactly.
So
another thing I've been thinking about is, we hear from decision makers that, if we want things to change on our streets, we have to wait for them to be reconstructed entirely, a process that can take, anywhere between 2 to 15 years, depending on where the street is in its life cycle. And I don't think that is acceptable. I think there's many things we can do right now, especially with new federal money that is available to localities. So cities and counties and municipal MPOs, municipal planning organizations, who can take advantage of federal money to rapidly transform a lot of their streets using low-cost, quick build methods that include paint, bollards.
What?
Did you rent that or did you buy that?
We borrowed it. I'm in the middle of a podcast. Hush.
And we can rapidly transform a lot of our streets right away. We can do this today. For example, we're seeing, a 4-to-3 conversion on Lindale Avenue, the street that we're riding on. And that is going to take about a week and about, less than $100,000 is my estimate.
Yeah.
And so we can do that in every street today if we wanted to, without having to wait for a street reconstruction. And those kinds of transformations can act as, pilots. They can help us evaluate whether it's working well or not. And then when the street reconstruction comes around, people have already adjusted to, a new way of getting around on those streets.
So how do you feel about the Lindale changes? I remember in 2019, right before the pandemic, there had been a pedestrian killed on the 25.
Shoot.
Oh. You can put that in a basket if you want.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
So, sorry. A pedestrian was killed on the 2500 block of Lyndale, and so a bunch of community members got together, protested. We got a community meeting out of it, and they demanded a 4-3 conversion. And here we are in 2022, and we're getting a pilot 4-3 conversion. How do you feel about that?
I feel heartened that under enormous pressure from the community, and unfortunately had to take the death of one of our neighbors to have this happen, that, you know, we were finally able to get the county to take some action. I think it's too little. A 4-3 conversion is the bare minimum, or even the barest of minimums that, you know, an agency can, actions that an agency can take. You know, if I were in charge, I would be narrowing the street to have one lane of traffic in each direction, having, you know, really wide sidewalks where there are no obstructions for people walking and rolling, protected bike lanes using concrete barriers to prevent people from being hit by cars, and eventually having dedicated transit lanes as well. Those are all things that we could be doing today if we wanted to. And, you know, a pilot is a good first step, but we have a long way to go to make the street truly a place for people.
I'm gonna check my audio to make sure.
I'm very nervous that something's gonna go wrong, Ash. Do you ever have that feeling?
Always. I had this feeling all day yesterday.
It looks like we're only 40 minutes into this. Okay. I'm reassured. Thank you. Do you want us to plug your business on the podcast?
Sure.
Okay, what is it?
Yeah. Hi.
What's your business?
I sell jewelry. I'm a paparazzi consultant, so I have a jewelry boutique.
Okay.
What's your name?
Time to Shine Jewels.
Time to Shine Jewels here at Lyndale Open Streets. By the time this airs, the event will be over, but hopefully people can find you on the internet.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I am on www.ttsjewels.com.
Okay.
That is our website.
ttsjewels.com.
Yes.
Okay.
ttsjewels.com. Or I'm on Facebook as well. Time to Shine Jewels.
Time to Shine Jewelry. ttsjewels.com.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, great day.
Okay. So technically we're still good. Where were we? I'm sorry, Ash. I'm doing this all by myself.
That's no problem. we were talking about how we, you know, a 4-3 conversion on Lyndale is the barest of minimums that this county could be doing to make people feel safe and comfortable on Lyndale Avenue South. A couple of things that have happened as we are biking by some medians that have been put in at the intersection of Lyndale and 25th Avenue. And I've heard already from some folks who live around here that it's making a big difference to their life and being able to.
I live around here.
Yeah.
I can tell you. I cross this intersection, 25th and Lyndale, all the time now. Never would I do that before.
Wow.
And I see other people doing it.
So it's making a real material difference to your life.
Yes.
Just, you know, a simple matter of putting in concrete to narrow some of the lanes and have a refuge for people waiting to cross.
You still have to be very aware because
right.
There are drivers who will like speed around the one car that has stopped since
right.
It's still four lanes. But as long as you're careful, you can take it two lanes at a time,
right.
One direction at a time. I like it. And I can't wait. You know what? When they first put them in, they reduced traffic to one lane in each direction. And I'm like, this is great. This is the headline right here, putting the barrels in to temporarily close it down to one lane in each direction. I love that.
And what was it like for you when it was one lane in each direction, when it was being constructed?
People were driving slower.
Yeah.
Because you aren't, as a driver, compelled to like zoom around the person who's slow in front of you. like, okay, one person's going slow, we're all gonna go a little slower. And it didn't seem to back up traffic to any great degree. It felt like it was shut down for at least a couple of days.
Right.
And I didn't notice any huge traffic problems.
You know,
I remember talking to you about the 4-3 conversion and how, like, professional traffic engineers say traffic volumes are too high, it will not work, we can't do it on Lindale Avenue. And there's a thing called traffic evaporation. Like, we're not destined to have this volume of traffic on Lindale Avenue forever. If there's this much traffic on Lindale Avenue because we have made it a super wide, very attractive place for people to bring their cars.
Exactly. I think that's, you know, looking at what happens when a road is being worked on, if there's construction happening or closures happening, is all you need to know to see what happens to how people get around. In almost every case, we don't see massive congestion. We don't see, quote unquote, Carmageddon. What we see is people deciding to make different choices to get to their destinations, whether it's, you know, using public transit, biking, taking another route, or not making the trip at all. And all of those are things that happen on a regular basis, every time there's construction on one of our streets. Yet, that doesn't seem to convince the traffic engineers who worry that we will see enormous amounts of increased traffic in surrounding neighborhoods if a major artery like Lindale is narrowed. I think that's not true. It's not backed up by science and by the data, and we should be we should be prioritizing the right things, which is justice, safety, and the climate in as the top three things we want in terms of measuring success on a street reconstruction project.
You know what I put at the top of that list, though?
Yeah.
Because I'm a bad person? Quality of life. Does that fit into any of those three categories?
I think a quality of life is...
It's a justice thing?
Yeah, all of those things are captured by that, I think. Absolutely.
Just to reiterate what I said earlier, people are selfish, and they don't want to do good for the sake of doing good. You have to make it, like, your life will be better. That's why you should do good.
Yeah.
That's how I frame it politically. Like, for an elected official, your constituents will thank you for doing this. Not your environmentalist constituents will thank you. All of them, because all their lives got better.
Absolutely. I mean, it's everybody will thank you. And I really, really think that if we do more of these street transformations in our community, it'll just become normal, and then people will get really mad if you take it away. I live on a street called Milwaukee Avenue that has no cars on it, and I can't even imagine what the outcry would be if we were to say, let's open this up back to cars.
Yeah, that's a very dead street. I've been on that street.
It unfortunately is. You know,
you need to open up, like, Ash's coffee shop on that street, which neighbors complain.
Yeah, I often daydream about, you know, having, you know, much higher housing density on my street, coffee shops, maybe a movie theater, mm-hmm. a bowling alley. All of that would make Milwaukee Avenue a really good place to live. Today, it's mostly single-family homes and overlooking what seems like a nice park. It's nice to have no cars on it.
Yeah. What is your favorite restaurant on Lindale Avenue? And then this general area, not including, like, far, far south or far north Minneapolis.
Yeah. So I think mine would be the taco place down the street here. Okay. Lagos Tacos.
Eaten there.
Yeah, I've eaten here in the summer a couple of times. They have a nice patio, they have some really good beer, and their tacos hit the spot. I don't know if it's whether the tacos are, it's because the tacos are that good, or whether I'm just really enjoying all of the other factors, but I enjoy being there.
Since it's gonna get loud here, I'm gonna turn the camera around.
Cool.
Okay. So, we were talking about Lagos Tacos. And how do you
Hi! How are you doing? Good. I'm on a podcast.
We're podcasting.
But,
oh, you're my, podcasting.
But my tent is over there. So, yeah. Yeah. that's my wife's cousin.
Okay. Do you have a lot of family in the Twin Cities?
I do not, but my my spouse was born and brought up in Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
So she has quite a few friends and family here. So.
Yeah, I don't have any family here either. I moved here with zero connections.
Okay. Where did you move from?
South Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah. I like it. My family is originally from the Midwest,
okay.
So I probably, temperamentally, I do fine here.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, South Florida has some of the worst rates for pedestrian fatalities in the country.
Yeah,
this is an improvement, but that's not saying a whole lot.
It's a huge improvement to my quality of life. I have the camera set too low. It? Are you happy, Ash, in your professional life, in your personal life, just in the city? What is your mood?
That's a really
difficult
question. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life, but I don't know if that makes me actually happy.
Reggie, are you a little... this is getting very deep.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a dark place.
I know.
Because I was about to ask you if you're a depressive person.
I am not a depressive person. I've taken those tests that see if you have depression.
Okay.
What I've been diagnosed is with high anxiety, but no depression.
Okay.
However, I, you know, what I do is often I try not to think about the consequences of climate disaster too much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the, you know, reports that show that 40% of our birds have disappeared and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I do that by avoiding thinking about it.
Is that what you're anxious about mostly? Like political, global, catastrophe style stuff?
I mean, I'm anxious about everything from whether Lindale Avenue Open Streets is going to go well to whether I have the ingredients necessary to make my wife dinner.
Yeah.
But they, and sometimes they all kind of seem about the same level of anxiety.
I get anxious too.
What do you get anxious about mostly?
Everything. Everything. I'm a very anxious person.
What would you say is like a top two anxiety
So thing? Basically, like the political situation in Minneapolis gets to me. I pay way too much attention to politics.
Yeah.
And
do you think it's gotten worse in the last since the last round of elections?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it was great before 21, but a lot of people thought, oh, we fixed it. We elected all these people. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's not getting better. I worry that we're in a bad place and we're not fixing the problems that put us in the bad place.
Right.
Are we near where you need to get off?
I think we are just down by Lake Street there. So about two more minutes.
So that's what I'm anxious about.
Yeah. I also feel like there's, you know, some things to really, that make me feel better is, you know, after George Floyd was murdered, just the sheer amount of community who have connected with each other and have created the base of what seems to be a really powerful movement. And I feel like some of those things take some time to, for us to really see the impacts.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see, you know, some of those things come to actually lead to real change, but it can feel a lot like, you know, things are a little bit too slow for us to make meaningful change sometimes.
This part of the route is not conducive to podcasting at all. I don't know who my next guest is going to be.
What about the public works guys?
Oh, I don't think that, that's going to ruin their careers. They'll get fired.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Can I get off, or are we going back to?
Oh, I can take you over there, or you can get off now.
Okay, I'll get off now. I just want to talk to Jay. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Bye. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to need your thing before you go.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it. Yeah.
Not that you would. Just I'm going to forget.
Yeah. So. This is really fun. I'd really like to kind of get one of these.
Yeah.
Would you get one of these?
No, I don't have space. That's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
I live in an apartment, no elevator.
Yeah.
And so, like, having an e-bike would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lug that.
Yeah, I'll get off there.
Okay. I am full-time on a nice ride. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go try to find another guest. I don't know. Maybe I should get on my phone.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This is fun.
Yeah.
Do you have somebody else lined up?
I just, like, I'm going to text people through the day and see if they're ready and where they are.
All right. See you later, John.
See ya.